The intersection of workplace and spirituality can be a tricky one to navigate. Judy Neal, the director of the Tyson Center for Faith and Spirituality in the Workplace at the Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas, says businesses can benefit from embracing discussions about values and spiritual matters. She's helping put together the Wisdom at Work conference in Fayetteville later this month. The research-oriented conference is designed with academics, faith leaders, and business people all in mind. Last week, I invited Judy Neal to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to discuss the conference and the idea of bringing spirituality to the workplace at a time when the country appears to be very polarized.
We're all human beings. We all have a spiritual life. Most of us work, and this is about the integration of our spiritual life and our work. So anybody could benefit from it. But we particularly are focusing on academics. It's a research conference, along with business leaders and faith leaders coming together to really look at what are the critical issues and using human wisdom over the ages and making the workplace better.
It's an interesting word, wisdom, in the workplace. Wisdom can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. What should we take from wisdom in the title of this conference?
Well, you know, the committee this year, because last year we had the conference and it was called the Faith and Spirituality in the Workplace Conference, and we wanted to have that something that was more inclusive and more people could find meaning in it. And so we come from a base of saying that the wisdom of spiritual traditions and religious traditions has centuries of proof experience of how to live better and how to work better together. But then there's also the wisdom of sciences, the wisdom of neurobiology, for instance, or the wisdom that people are learning in the integration of spirituality and healthcare. So we wanted to have something that was broader and more inclusive.
There has long been for many the idea that you just check your spirituality or religion at the door.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get along better if we don't talk about this. And maybe keep your politics and even your favorite sports teams. And those are things that we won't talk about from 9 to 5, and we'll just get along fine.
Right. Well, and that's really a healthy way to go if you've got a conflict-averse culture in your organization. If you're afraid of conflict, you'll be afraid of talking about faith or spirituality in the workplace. You'll also be afraid of creativity and innovation and people bringing their whole selves to work, and you're going to have less of the human being showing up. So most organizations are like that. And I've talked to a number of CEOs here who say, you know, I really love what you're doing, but we can't have that here because I'm so afraid of being sued. And that's really the underlying fear. They're afraid the conflict will lead to people bringing a lawsuit for religious discrimination of some sort.
Maybe I'm reading something into your voice, but I'm hearing a little bit of it doesn't have to be that way.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't have to be that way. And I think it takes some education and some willingness to put your toe in the water. I don't say jump in whole hog and start holding religious ceremonies in your company, but to begin to create safe ways for people to discuss their faith and their spirituality or their spiritual wisdom. I mean, and it's useful to use lots of different words, not just to say faith in the workplace or spirituality in the workplace, but to use all those different words kind of allows more people to tap into your discussion. So a real good example is just to have a book club that might be about some kind of ecumenical spirituality in the workplace. And there's the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Mm-hmm. They're a wonderful way that doesn't focus on any one religion, but allows people to read a story, talk about how it moves them, how that whatever it was that moves them might be incorporated more in the workplace. You know, it's just kind of putting your toe in the water.
So what could be gained? And I don't mean this in a sarcastic way. What could be gained from that book club where you talk about spirituality or different spiritualities? How could that help the workplace?
Well, it helps relationships, first of all. People know each other at a different level, and when you know people better, then there's more trust. When there's more trust, you need less control systems, so you don't need to have, I mean, if you really want to extrapolate, you wouldn't need to have as many managers or as restrictive systems, and so the organization can open up and be more energized and more inspired.
If we are indeed as polarized as we've been in a long time, perhaps as long as they've been asking such questions, Is there a chance we can become less polarized? We're in election season. It looks whoever wins on November 6th is going to do so with the slimmest of margins, mm-hmm. go into the Oval Office with nearly half the country unhappy that that man won.
Mm-hmm.
Can we actually get past this?
I already see us turning a corner. I just see so many people that I respect who are saying we need more civil discourse. And you hear people calling for, let's stop this polarization. Let's move towards the middle. Let's work together more. Let's collaborate, whether it's in business or politics or religion. It's not the mainstream right now, but it's the voices are getting louder and louder for that kind of change. People are sick of the polarization.
Interesting poll last week, and it may have been the Pew Charitable Trust, that showed the largest percentage of Americans ever, of adult Americans, say they have no particular religious affiliation,
mm-hmm.
20%,
mm-hmm.
1 in 5. Think that means anything for the future?
Yeah, I do. I don't think it's changing our nature as human beings. I think it's a call to religious organizations to say you need to get more relevant, or you're losing people. But I don't, if you look deeper into those figures, those people, a lot will say, I'm spiritual but not religious.
Right.
That's the fastest growing category now.
Yes, just 1/5 of that 1/5 said mm-hmm. they were agnostic or atheist.
Mm-hmm.
You still had 80% of those respondents, just no particular affiliation whatsoever.
Yeah, and they tend to be younger people. So the churches and temples and mosques don't seem to be appealing to younger people, maybe because of some of the polarization, some of the how rigid they are. And so these organizations are going to have to get more relevant and, I think, more collaborative and more into this learning environment and respect of people who are different. If they don't do that, they're just going to keep shrinking. And even if they don't do that and they keep shrinking, it doesn't mean people don't care about spirituality. The fastest growing category of books is spiritual books. So it's just, it's still really important to people's lives.
And I guess it should be, it definitely should be pointed out that 20% of 20% who self-identify as agnostic or atheist does not mean they are not spiritual.
That's right. Some of them, I've had conversations with, I remember one man in a coffee shop one time and we were talking and I told him I was interested in spirituality in the workplace. And he says, well, I don't believe in spirituality. I'm agnostic. And I said, well, tell me, what inspires you in life and what gives you meaning? And he started talking in poetic terms about the order in the universe and the beauty of creation. And he just waxed eloquent about this underlying beauty that we all live in. And I said, you sound real spiritual to me. And he actually looked relieved, because it doesn't have to be about religion. But religion is a wonderful source for spirituality. It's been centuries of wisdom passed on. So people can get it different places.
Going back to bringing spirituality into the workplace, and I can see where people would see the value of it. But discussion of spirituality can get into topics where people are very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion, death penalty, gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you necessarily want those discussions in the workplace.
Well, they're happening anyway.
Right.
But what would it be like if we actually, head on said, anything's fair game for conversation because we can get to know each other and understand each other better, but why don't we learn how to listen to one another respectfully? Why don't we learn to understand and appreciate differences? I don't have to agree with you, but I'd like to understand why you see the world the way you do. And most corporations are doing this anyway with diversity training. They did it around race, and then they did it around gender, and they did it around age. This is just another diversity issue in one basic way. I think it's more than a diversity issue, but it's at least another diversity issue.
But we don't have a lot of examples, at least in popular culture, of ways to do that. I think of 24-hour cable news networks. You don't see a lot of talking and listening.
No. Or in the debates.
Right. Right. I mean, you don't see there are not a lot of episodes of civil discourse that are witnessed by millions at a time as a shared experience.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think TV is the source of our education.
Okay. Yes. Right.
But you do see it on radio. You know, where there are shows where, I mean, some of it's not civil, but there are radio programs where people do express different points of view and talk in respectful ways. But I do think it's the educational system and the workplace that have the responsibility for teaching people how to do that. And they could help to change our culture in a more positive way if they took that seriously.
Judy Neal is the director of the Tyson Center for Faith and Spirituality in the Workplace at the Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas. The Wisdom at Work conference begins on Wednesday, October 31st, but there are some pre-conference workshops taking place on Tuesday, the 30th. All events are at the Global Campus Center. If you'd like a link to more information about the conference, you can go to our webpage, ozarksatlarge.com.
At All Things Considered, we don't just bring you the day's news. We interview actors, musicians, and artists of all stripes and take the time to understand what really drives them. We learn the story behind the story to get at the deeper truths that connect us all. I'm Melissa Block. Stop by for your daily dose of discovery every afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered, every weekday afternoon from 3 until 6 here on KUAF 91.3 FM.